If any have offended against you, consider first, what is my relation to them, and that we are made for one another, and in another respect I was made to be set over them, as a ram over the flock or a bull over the herd. But examine the matter from first principles, from this. If all things are not mere atoms, it is nature which orders all things. If this is so, the inferior things exist for the sake of the superior, and these for the sake of one another. Second, consider what kind of men they are at table, in bed, and so forth, and particularly how much they are under compulsions in respect of their opinions and beliefs. And as to their acts, consider with what pride they do what they do. Third, that if men do rightly what they do, we ought not to be displeased, but if they do not right, it is plain that they do so involuntarily and in ignorance. For as every soul is unwillingly deprived of the truth, so also is it unwillingly deprived of the power of behaving to each man according to his deserts. Accordingly, men are pained when they are called unjust, ungrateful, and greedy, and in a word, wrongdoers to their neighbours. Fourth, consider that you also do many things wrong, and that you are a man like others, and if you do abstain from certain faults, still you have the disposition to commit them, though either through cowardice or concern about reputation or some such mean motive, you do abstain from such faults. Fifth, consider that you do not even understand whether men are doing wrong or not, for many things are done with a certain reference to circumstances. And in short, a man must learn a great deal to enable him to pass a correct judgment on another man's acts. Sixth, consider when you are much vexed or grieved that man's life is only a moment, and after a short time we are all laid out dead. Seventh, that it is not men's acts which disturb us, for those acts have their foundation in men's ruling principles, but it is our own opinions which disturb us. Take away these opinions, then, and resolve to dismiss your judgment about an act as if it were something grievous, and your anger is gone. How then shall I take away these opinions? By reflecting that no wrongful act of another brings shame on you. For if you allow anything else to be evil than those things that are shameful, you may fall into wrongdoing to avoid these evils, and become a thief or someone of the worst character to achieve your worldly aims. Eighth, consider how much more pain is brought on us as a result of the anger and vexation caused by such acts than by the acts themselves, at which we were angry and vexed. Ninth, consider that a good disposition is invincible if it be genuine and not an affected smile and acting a part. For what will the most violent man do to you if you continue to be of a kind disposition towards him, and if, as opportunity offers, you gently admonish him and calmly correct his errors at the very time when he is trying to do you harm, saying, "Not so, my child, we are constituted by nature for something else. I shall certainly not be injured, but you are injuring yourself, my child," and show him with gentle tact and by general principles that this is so, and that even bees do not do as he does, nor any animals which are formed by nature to be gregarious. And you must do this neither with any double meaning nor in the way of reproach, but affectionately and without any rancour in your soul, and not as if you were lecturing him, nor yet that any bystander may admire, but meant for him alone, even if others are present. Remember these 9 rules as if you had received them as a gift from the Muses, and begin at last to be a man while you live. But you must equally avoid flattering men and being vexed at them, for both are unsocial and lead to harm. And let this truth be present to you in the excitement of anger, that to be moved by passion is not manly, but that mildness and gentleness, as they are more agreeable to human nature, so also are they more manly. And he who possesses these qualities possesses strength, nerves, and courage, and not the man who is subject to fits of passion and discontent. For in the same degree in which a man's mind is nearer to freedom from all passion, in the same degree also is it nearer to strength. And as the sense of pain is a characteristic of weakness, so also is anger. For he who yields to pain and he who yields to anger, both are wounded and both submit. But if you will, receive also a tenth present from the leader of the Muses, Apollo. And it is this, that to expect bad men not to do wrong is madness. For he who expects this desires an impossibility. And to allow men to behave so to others, and to expect them not to do you any wrong, is irrational and tyrannical.